Emily Wright, Tech Editor and Head of Special Projects at EG, and I'm joined today by Pui Granman, our news editor, for the second week in a row, which is lovely. And I'm going to say we're still here just. I think that this week has, well, certainly for me and Pui, we were just sort of chatting about it. This week has been tough. And we've had weeks where things have just felt a bit rough, I think, throughout this process. And this week's just been really tiring, but for good reasons, You know, it's been exciting. We've had some really exciting events and podcasts. And Pui's been so busy on the news side of things, and with an amazing story as well, which we're going to talk about in a minute. Just one that has got so much engagement, which is fantastic to see. But it has been a difficult one, hasn't it, Pui?
Yeah, it's been weirdly tricky, and just I feel like I've almost burned myself out a little bit this week, but yeah, I mean, I guess I've been having some conversations at least this week about creating things to look forward to, you know, to get through it all. I mean, it's not by any means a new conversation people have been having during lockdown, but you know, still relevant even as we shift back to sort of pre-lockdown life. So yeah, trying to see the sunny side of it all still, Emily.
On a grey day, that's lovely to hear.
I guess for me, starting quite simple, I know the first thing I'm going to do once I'm back out and about is to find a proper cup of coffee. I've been living off of these instant granules for the past few months, and I think actually that's contributed to the sheer amount of tiredness I've been feeling this week. It's just no way to live, Emily.
Oh, and it's not the same, is it? That's the thing. There's something about instant granules that just takes me right back to the 1990s. I don't know what it is. You know, I don't think I even drank coffee in the 1990s. Maybe it was the Nescafe adverts that I'm thinking of that really take me back. But yeah, I think a lot of people sort of feel that a decent cup of coffee will be an excellent place to start and to celebrate the return to some semblance of normality. Yeah. I spoke to Sandra Grishy from Edge Technologies this week, and what was really weird / encouraging / made me very envious was the fact that out in Amsterdam, and particularly in the Edge buildings, which are kind of very designed to respond to everything, and it turns out including a pandemic, they've been able to get back to work pretty easily, and they're back. You know, obviously with some major changes in place, and screens up as you walk in telling you exactly how many people are in each part of the building and where's safe to go and how long the air's been circulating, whether it's stale or not. So they've got those systems in place, but yeah, they're back, and I bet they're drinking some nice coffee.
Oh god, yeah, but that's really awesome. That's so awesome to hear. I mean, I've actually been living vicariously as well through people's tales of returning to the office. Now that I think it looks to me like more people in the industry are tentatively venturing back out there. The good thing is that they've got decent coffee, hopefully. But I'm hearing quite a lot of accounts of quite a surreal West End, you know, that's devoid of tourists, and you know, maybe some shops that are that were boarded up now showing signs of life, and you know, colleagues perching 2 meters away from each other around boardroom tables. You know, it feels like the world is slowly opening back up again, which I'm liking.
Looking forward to.
Yeah.
One thing that I'm noticing, or that I'm sort of slightly apprehensive about, and we kind of touched on this when we chatted last week as well, is how it's going to feel going back to that hustle and bustle. You know, I think it's been so long, certainly since I've experienced anything like that, and I'm noticing it around where I live, that now that people are starting to kind of move on from the depths of this very collective battle that we were all in, where everybody was sort of fighting against this common enemy, people are beginning to get back into that mentality of, you know, each for their own, and everybody's got their lives to lead and their things to do and their shopping list to get through, and their, you know, and it's beginning to feel a bit, well, I mean, I never used to bother me, it used to just be the norm. It's starting to feel like that kind of slightly cold, you know, inconsiderate in some ways, right, approach to other people, and, you know, being pushed off pavements and barged out of the way in supermarkets, and it all feels quite unpleasant, except that that's just what life was like before, and I think it's returning, and it's making me feel a little bit sad, actually.
Yeah, I feel you. There was definitely kind of, yeah, the camaraderie feeling of it maybe is starting to ebb away a bit. People are going back to hating each other.
Yeah, let's hope. Let's hope that, you know, if we've learned anything from this, that it's to all kind of be a bit kinder to each other. But, you know, from the behaviour of some people in Sainsbury's at the moment, I'd say that people have forgotten quite quickly, which is a shame. So no, I shall make it my mission to remember. But things are changing. Things will change, and things will probably change for the long term. And one of the stories this week, well, I mean, it's kind of the story of the week, and it's your story, of course, Westfield to ditch department store for desks. Massive story. It's kind of got everything, hasn't it? And it's that, you know, it's that kind of one of the sort of first indications we've seen of, you know, a major company like that doing something completely different, really off the back of what's happened. So what's the story? Go into a bit more detail for us. I know that it's been incredibly popular, so I'm sure everybody would love to hear all about it.
This week we revealed that Westfield London has earmarked a massive chunk of its House of Fraser anchor department store for swish new co-working offices. And for those of you who haven't been before, it's a really prominent spot at the centre. It faces the tube and the overground stations. And it's applied for a change of use for around 68,000 square feet of the department store, along with a couple of smaller retail spaces. And you're right, Emily, there's so much to unpack from this, because on many levels, it's a sign of the times. You know, we did an interview with Unibail Rodamco Westfield's UK and Italy boss, Scott Parsons, a couple of months ago, and he spoke about bringing dynamism and, you know, so much more to the centre than just a retail and F&B and leisure location. And it's worth noting, it's also earmarked land for up to 1,750 homes just north of the centre too. So this gives us some hints on what he's working towards, you know, a place that brings in workers as well as residents, you know, somewhere that pretty much offers everything. And I guess for Westfield, it makes sense to cut down on department store space as well, because John Lewis will still be there and M&S. So it's not totally renouncing the big traditional retail players. And yeah, I mean, on another level, so many landlords are having to think on their feet and line up alternative uses, because department stores in particular have been really punchy on rent renegotiations during lockdown, as I'm sure our listeners will all know. And House of Fraser has been well known for this ever since it became part of the Mike Ashley empire in 2018, and even a bit before that, I guess. But it's not the only one. You know, Debenhams as well at Westfield London is also being turned into an outlet for Harrods. So that's around 80,000 square feet, I think, of it that's being turned into a sort of a discount outlet to sort of help Harrods relieve some of the pressure of too much stock at its big Knightsbridge store. Yeah, I mean, I could go on. I don't know.
No, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, let's talk about the fact that it's going into this sort of co-working side of things, because that's interesting. It's interesting for two reasons. One, that's what it's decided to go into, and how do you think they're going to make that work? And then it's also, again, as you say, you mentioned a sign of the times. Well, that's, you know, it's interesting, isn't it? we've been talking a lot about what's going to happen with the future of the office, what's going to happen with the future of co-working. Will there be more flex space, less flex space? Will people be, you know, looking for those desks as potentially HQs sort of shrink down in the center of cities as more people are working from home? I mean, it just kind of plays into everything, really, doesn't it? So let's talk about the co-working element of it. What have you picked up on that side of things specifically?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's this whole idea, isn't there, of the suburbanization of co-working spaces. Is that a word? Suburbanization? I don't know.
If it's not, it should be. I think if urbanization is a word, then suburbanization surely is too.
Yeah, no, it's a bit of a mouthful though. Suburban, let's try saying that quickly.
I like it. I think suburbanization is a good one.
Yeah. I mean, traditionally, I guess, You could see it as, you know, the big co-working providers have focused on central London and other big cities up to this point. But now that the pandemic has put a lot of people off commuting, and you know, I was just on the phone to someone earlier who was saying how actually, you know, people are working really well remotely during lockdown. You know, it's not kind of been you know, it's been much easier than everyone thought it was going to be. So, you know, could we be seeing more flex offices pop up on the peripheries? You know, it's quite an interesting topic to dig into, and I guess ties in with the kind of discussion that people have been having about hub and spoke models and all that kind of thing. So, yeah, so I guess Westfield doing this, you know, in a part of sort of more outside of central London is, you know, it's quite interesting.
Do you think people will be surprised to have read the story? I mean, it got so much engagement, but do you think it's more of a, I mean, this is a bit unfair of a question really, because I'm asking you to kind of guess how people are feeling, but I'm just sort of wondering whether it was a wow reaction or a, oh, okay, reaction. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think the fact that it is House of Fraser has maybe made people go a little bit, because I mean, when you think about brands of the future, this is going to sound so mean, but you know, you wouldn't really necessarily think of Debenhams or House of Fraser as being particularly kind of you know, future of retail promising, if that makes sense.
Unless you're, and she gets picked on so much and we love her dearly, but unless you're Resi Rossa, Emma Rossa, who revealed on a call recently that she loves nothing more than a department store, and has a real, like, reminds her of her childhood. And I understand that, actually. I do get that. But I suppose our childhoods are by definition in the past. So in terms of a future brand, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know. And I guess people are just, I think people you know, they're keen to see something new, I think, in spaces that they're familiar with, or, you know, anything different. And you know, I guess it's kind of, there's a factor of a lot of people are familiar with the centre, familiar with kind of how it looks. And I guess having co-working in there is sort of an added element of, oh, wow, really? You know, and trying to imagine these sort of, I don't know, WeWork style offices in there is, you know, there's an element of kind of novelty to it, I guess.
Well, it's a brilliant story, really interesting. You know, as I say, it's got everything, and it kind of is a real sign of the times. It's sort of a culmination of the sign of the times in terms of what was kind of happening before the pandemic, twinned with a reaction to the pandemic, which has kind of created this sort of like perfect kind of duo of you know, sort of timelines merging together. It's encouraging to see sort of a big company like this being so kind of forward thinking and innovative in terms of its space, and thinking, well, hang on a minute, you know, what do we need to be doing next? And it sort of also shows that the sky can be the limit, because I'm sure that 6 months ago, a year ago, nobody would have kind of imagined that this would be something that would happen necessarily. And it's interesting to see that, you know, there's been such a massive evolution in terms of the way spaces are used, the way that people want to use space. And I think fueled now by what you mentioned, which is this potential continued move away from the sort of city centre. Not completely, of course, but I think everybody is expecting certainly some kind of a degree of a mixture of, you know, more remote, local working with, you know, travelling into a city centre, particularly while in a city like London, the transport links are still so, you know, important in terms of us getting around. And I think that's the bit everybody's the most worried about, really. You know, how safe is the transport system going to be? And again, when I was speaking to Edge this week, they were saying, well, the other reason that, you know, in Amsterdam things have got back together and got back to normal pretty quickly is that most people commute either on foot or by cycling. So it's a major kind of a major win, really, for a city that can get back up and running without the sort of a strong reliance on those public transport networks. Yeah. So brilliant story. I imagine that everybody needs to keep an eye on what's going to happen next with that one, and you'll be keeping an eye on it too.
Indeed. It's really early days, I should probably stress, you know, but yeah, I'll be so interested to see how it pans out.
Brilliant. And anything else this week that people should be keeping an eye on or checking out, or if they haven't read, should make sure they read?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess, you know, going back to the theme of having to sort of think creatively as rent negotiations fall by the wayside, the code of practice for landlords and tenants that the government has been drawing up is expected to come out today, any moment now, in fact, as we're recording, as well as a kind of wider government package to further support the high street. We chatted about the code actually a bit in last week's podcast, you know, when we got our hands on the draft document for it. So we have some idea of what it's going to involve. But, you know, you can look forward to plenty more coverage on this front as it all unfolds. You know, we've been very keen to see what the government has finalised on that front.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Also this week, as I mentioned, we spoke to Edge as part of a new Building Data podcast series. And if people wanted to make sure that they are free for the next one, put it in your diary. It will be 10 a.m. UK time on July the 2nd. And so far, we've got Google Maps and the Real Estate Data Foundation lined up to talk about data ethics. And also this week, we announced the shortlist for the EG Tech Awards 2020. That's had a lot of excitement online, which is fantastic. It's a really sort of interesting one to balance. Everybody has been through such a challenging time, and you don't want to trivialise what's been sort of going on in the wider world, of course. But to have something to look forward to, something to celebrate, feels like the right thing as well at the moment. And actually, if there's anything to celebrate at the moment, I think innovation has to be up there. We've seen that from our conversation today, and just from looking at how the world has been responding to this pandemic, and it's true that where there is adversity, often innovation is not far behind. So do check out our shortlisted companies and individuals and organizations, the best of the best in technology and real estate, and feel free to join us of course for the awards on the 10th of September. I think that might be it for us this week. It's short and sweet. But as I said at the beginning, we're only just still here this week. I think we're hanging on by a thread, aren't we? It's been a busy old week. We would hate to leave our listeners without an instalment. So, of course, we are more than happy to have a chat. And it's been a week well worthy of that chat as well, with that fantastic story from Yupui. Yeah. But I think we should give ourselves a bit of a break and sign off a little bit early this week. So, Pui, thank you so much for joining me. 2 weeks in a row, I feel very honoured.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure. Always happy to be here.
We're not really signing off early so much as, you know, giving ourselves more time to get on with everything else we've got to do before the weekend. So thank you so much again for joining me, and to everybody listening, we'll be here, or we'll still be here next week. Thank you.